we last minute we change it to a virtual meeting due to the weather. Thank you for showing up. This is the HIV Community Planning Council Membership Committee, Thursday, February 13th. My name is Ron Hernandez, and I am one of the co-chairs for this committee. JP, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, hi there, JP Soto, council member.
Erwin? Erwin, can you hear me? Erwin Barrios is present.
Sorry?
Erwin Barrios is present.
Yeah, present, sorry.
Robert?
Robert Arnold, council member present.
Zachary?
Work council member.
Elaine, hi, welcome, Elaine.
Hi guys, sorry a little late. Elaine, council culture.
Thomas.
Thomas Noble, they, them pronouns, government co-chair. Good to see you folks.
Thank you. Marco.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Marco Montenegro, Clinica Esperanza, Mission Neighborhood Health Center.
Thank you. And we have members of this of the public. Oh, Mark is with us as well.
Yeah, so we have Jan, I believe is how you say it. Jan Oskarsson, who is joining us for the meeting today.
Welcome, Jan. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Anyone else? I don't see anyone else. That was lovely.
And then Kara, council staff.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, staff. Please go ahead.
Pat Pudgegear, council staff.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. So let's review the draft agenda for today. Are there any changes or switcheroos?
I wonder if we could move, I mean, Jan might want to stay for the entire meeting or not, but I wonder if we could move Jan at the top of agenda item 6 before reviewing Anna's application.
For that.
And on that note, I guess a quick question. Kat, do we have a waiting room possibility with this meeting? I think you set the meeting up. Is that something we have?
That's a great question. How do you put someone in a waiting room?
Although we actually don't need to have it. I was thinking about that because we usually divide up the questions, and, you know, ask the applicant to leave while we divide up the questions. But, you know, we don't actually have to do that. Like, Kira could just share screen and council support can just read the questions rather than fussing around with a waiting room. And then we can just ask Jan to leave the meeting after the interview so that we can discuss.
Also, I just checked and we do have the option to put Jan in a waiting room.
Okay.
If that's what folks want to do.
So we're okay to move it up to item 6. All right, so you've approved the agenda now. Other changes? Okay, it's approved. We're now going to review the minutes from last month.
Can you go back up for a moment? One further. Wanted to make sure I had that. Yeah, part D. Thank you.
Do you have any changes, guys? Do I have any hands up? Okay, seeing that there are no other changes other than Mark's, Let's approve the minutes as is. And now we go to announcements. Do we have any announcements from y'all? No, no announcements. Okay, what a public comment? Is there any comment from the public? Seeing none, we'll go ahead with our interview. Hi, Jan. I'm Ron. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great, thanks. And I'm actually very excited.
Good.
Nice to meet you all.
Thank you. I want to make sure I pronounce your name, Jan, right? Correct. Thank you.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Hey, Jan. So, Mark, can you go ahead and facilitate this interview?
Sure. If folks don't mind, we can just do it the straightforward way and we can just read the interview. I can just read them rather than assigning them out. It doesn't really quite have that punch if we're not in person. So, Kira, if you can share the interview questions. And while Kira gets set up, Jan, why don't you just start off by introducing yourself?
Yes, hello. My name is Jan Oskarsson. I am in my sort of work life. I'm the director of nursing at Ward 86. I am, I have now been in touch with Mark and the team, Kat, thanks for so many emails during this process. And I'm very excited to be here and very excited to contribute through this venue. If all goes well, I think in many ways we are in choppy waters as it stands, and it seems to be hitting us with quite a bit of velocity. So I think in some ways that would probably be it'll probably be tough discussions moving forward on this venue, and I'd be honored and excited to do that with you.
Jan. Yes, indeed. We have, in fact, the first of no doubt many tough discussions coming just this month when we're going to talk about immigration impact on San Francisco from current administration's initiatives. So, with that said, I'll just start with the first question. How did you hear about the Planning Council, and what has interested you in joining the council?
I first heard about the Planning Council, when I started at Ward 86. So my sort of my background is that I born and raised in Iceland, and then spent some time in Toronto, Canada, before then moving to San Francisco in 2016, and then I got my. We got a position at Ward 86 in 2017, and very soon thereafter heard about the Planning Council. I was working closely with Mary Lawrence Hicks, whom some of you know, and Richard Boggetto, who was then at the time a member of the Planning Council. And this sort of the intersection of the Ward 86 work, the clinical work, is very much is very much both influenced by, impacted by, and influenced by policy decisions that are made in the city and on the state level and on the federal level. And I feel after 7 years, 7 years here on the job, that it excites me to participate at a slightly larger level in terms of thinking about sort of the system of care in the city. My focus has been on Ward 86 and sort of the San Francisco Health Network, the DPH network of care, and with HIV being a particular focus of ours, obviously, and sort of HIV related and prevention related work. So I am beyond excited to be here.
Thank you, Jan. Does anyone have any follow-up questions to this first question? All right, let's charge on. Second question is to please tell us about any previous experience you have with community planning or program planning for people with HIV.
So most of my work to date has been on sort of clinical program planning. for people living with HIV within the context of sort of what we do here. And these have included, you know, active participation and planning around sort of how the HIV epidemic has evolved in San Francisco during my time here. So participated in building out programming for people aging with HIV, people living with HIV and unstable housing and homelessness, and then you know, obviously in the last few years there has been quite a bit of focus on the intersection of sort of you know, looking at this from a syndemic lens, like taking into account, looking at, working on sort of integrating both the prevention efforts and the HIV work, you know, and starting to sort of think holistically about how we can do better by thinking about, you know, sort of how do we create clinical programming that sort of centers the person, but yet sort of addresses the both the potential and active problems that people are living with and experiencing. And then sort of a little bit later in my tenure here, I started participating more and doing more work with on sort of the network level within the San Francisco Department of Public Health, on, you know, connecting with other HIV service providers within the system, thinking about how we could expand and improve on both HIV identification and linkage to care, and sort of how we can globally by using and building on the strengths that we have within the system, impact health outcomes. And that has really been one of the things that I, you know, has really excited me, sort of, you know, beyond the one-on-one interactions with you know, our patient population, the staff that work for us, and sort of like other colleagues within the network. It's sort of, you know, thinking about how can we move forward, how can we move forward as a city and as a health system, and try to sort of lobby the strengths that we have to improve the health outcomes for this group. And now I'm here.
Thank you, Jan. Does anyone have any follow-up questions to this particular question? No? I do. You mentioned in the beginning of your response that you've had considerable experience in looking at how service delivery should be considered within an overall systemic integrated model, and how I assume how siloing does not exactly equal being patient-centered. Would you say, like, in your like current day-to-day work, you experience that, like the benefits and the activities of integration and just regular, whether it's warm handoffs or like just understanding what other things are going on in a patient's life? Can you, I guess, reflect on that for a moment?
Yeah. I mean, I think in many ways, one of the things that I find remarkable about just the larger community in San Francisco is it feels like we're sort of pulling together in the same direction, and sort of the HIV programs we have now look considerably different from what we had in 2017 when I was starting. For example, there was sort of like a clear delineation between HIV prevention and HIV care, where there was a fairly sort of, you know, fairly apparent distinction between what types of activities were and what types of supports were available for people who were at risk of HIV acquisition versus those who were living with HIV. And I feel sort of like how both on the city and funder level, and then also sort of the implementation level. So for example, at 86 and Mission Neighborhood and Tom Adele and the sort of like clinics, we're moving towards thinking about this, as an interrelated system that sort of, because people who are at risk of HIV acquisition, if we don't work on supporting those individuals with the psychosocial pressures that sort of expose them to and make them, at risk for HIV, then eventually the risk is always that people sort of move into the HIV positive group, which is sort of a challenging way of looking at it. And I think in many ways, like the work that has happened, over even despite COVID kind of throwing the city. COVID and then the substance use crisis that kind of sort of followed has really put a strain on the system. I do feel like we're closer these two, because in my mind it's sort of like these two. There's a prevention side and then there's a treatment side, and they're sort of like moving closer and closer together. Because if we approach the and look at sort of like often the individuals that are living and trying to survive in San Francisco, the commonalities between the what people are living with are necessitate similar type of response.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm gonna mute, I think. Or maybe they've already muted. Thank you, Jan. All right, let's move on to the third question. What do you think you would bring to the council? In other words, where do you picture yourself making the greatest contribution? This is actually a reframed question from the original question of what voice would you bring?
Oh, I mean, I think it would be hard for me to separate out having been steeped in sort of the clinical care delivery portion, meaning that I've through my work I've really lived and breathed HIV care from the sort of the service provider perspective, for the past going on 8 years now. And I think that's both, that like the potential strength and also slightly like the limitation of what I would bring to it is that my sort of approach to this is obviously very much informed by what I'm seeing on the ground and what I'm seeing in our work. For those of you who may not be familiar with how the system is structured, what it sits within, sits within is a UC-Zafirun clinic, but sits squarely within the San Francisco Health Network. So our people are people who are on public or municipal insurance, and so many people on either Medicare or Medi-Cal or both, and that sort of informs my approach to this as well, because in many ways we see how harmful the system, the larger system can be to our folks with the insurance barriers and sort of like the difficulties of accessing care and really having to think about like how tackling those barriers need to be a part of sort of the overall planning around this, so that people are not so it's not like it's not the income that dictates essentially what opportunities you get to work on your to work on your and through your issues and sort of work towards health. So I think, yeah, I mean, that's I guess sort of the main thing that I would bring is clinical perspective and working within the field. You know, and I think the second part around that obviously is that, you know, I interact continuously with people living with HIV who are living and living in San Francisco and are recipients of care. I hear from people directly many times a week about the limitations of the system, about what we do well and what we could do better here on the local level. Part of what I hope is that we can sort of, you know, through this bring a portion of that to the fore, informing both decisions and conversations that we're having about directions that, you know, council might recommend in terms of how we move forward.
Thank you. Does anyone have any follow-up questions to question three? Oh, surprisingly silent group today. I promise, Jan, usually membership has a lot to say. Maybe Zoom is limiting. So I'm going to just ask a follow-up question. I'm going to just jump in. I guess it's a pretty basic question. It sounds like you do continue to have a lot of one-on-one experiences with clients / patients, and that their issues have been aired to you. Can you just maybe name one or two like that stood out to you that as far as being consistent across large numbers of clients?
Yeah, I mean, and many of these or like some of these might not necessarily come as a surprise to you. I think we have while the sort of the core HIV primary care system in San Francisco is fairly strong. We hear that from people regularly. They often make use of fairly good access. People are generally sort of report a fair amount of HIV knowledge about HIV and how to treat HIV within San Francisco. You know, like hospitals and EDs and so on. The supportive structures right now have not been as strong. It is difficult to access mental health services. It is difficult for people to access substance use services. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's sort of like one of those things where you know, from the HIV and prevention perspective, you know, we're sort of building out psychosocial supports and sort of a comprehensive care system for people living with HIV. But then the larger sort of psychiatric apparatus and then the mental health apparatus and then the substance use apparatus, they've you know, in many ways not been able to sort of like meet the moment. And those are often the challenging things that we hear from, what I hear from our patients is that, you know, there isn't a soon enough, there isn't something soon enough to be helpful. It's sort of, you know, people have experienced long waits for services, which sort of, you know, has also contributed to the issue becoming worse over time. You know, and it's like one of those issues in San Francisco that's kind of intractable, because on the one hand we have a super high need for and a fairly large group of people who have very complex problems, And as a system, we need to create and serve the population that is in crisis. But I think the portion that sometimes doesn't get addressed is early intervention for some of those things, and that's often where opportunities for interventions and successful interventions is often highest. And then sort of like, how do we balance that within a system that is completely under-equipped to support and help? And I know that it goes beyond sort of maybe the scope of council, but you know, these things are interconnected. So yeah, that's one piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I would say not beyond the scope of the council, making sure that we have holistic integration and that there is an ease of access across programs from mental health to psychosocial support to housing is an absolute goal of ours. So it's distressing to hear, not surprising, but distressing to hear that continues to be an issue. Thank you. All
And
right.
if I may add just one thing, you know, that we see, and you know, and you are, and that's sort of like people aging with HIV who are sort of getting into the part of needing supports, you know, sort of aging out of being able to live fully independently. That is sort of like the second big thing that we hear from people, LGBTQ or HIV sort of congruent places or supports are not necessarily accessible in the moment when needed. That's been hard for many of our folks. There have been some, you know, sort of movements on those ends with like both permanent supportive housings and, you know, Mercy Housing has been building out. But you know, Laguna Honda has been closed for a while, and is starting to open up, and there were changes in the RCFCI model a few years back. So that's sort of been a challenge for a group of folks.
Thank you. A key topic for us. In fact, the elder population, age 65 plus, is actually our current needs assessment target for 2025, was just chosen at last month's meeting. So Akira might be giving you an email, sending you an email, or calling you in the future to hopefully connect you with our survey tool, since it sounds like this is a very live topic for you and that you might actually be able to help us outreach to the patients of your agency.
I'll be
All
happy.
right. Excellent. Take note, Kira. This is another one of our many key informants. All right. Question number four. When making decisions as a council member, what would you view as the three most important elements in making your decisions?
Oh, that's a good one. Potential direct impact of any decision on the people we serve, one. Two, potential impact on sort of overall HIV outcomes. And then, because it's not lost on me what's about to hit us, that the decisions that council makes are aimed to enhance and strengthen the system of care in San Francisco, or shield it or guard it as much as possible. I think those three would be what I would sort of view the decision tree through impact on people, impact on overall outcomes, and then that we serve to strengthen the system.
Thank you. Great. Any follow-up questions to question four? Nope. All right. Now we go on to our last pro forma question, which is if you feel like you'd be able to abide by our attendance expectations, and those are ones that I reviewed with you. So we assume that you will be able to pick and then attend on a regular basis a home committee once a month, usually virtually. And then also to, of course, attend our main event, the fourth Monday of the month, our full council meeting. Are you going to be able to abide by those things?
100%.
Excellent. Now I'll open the floor to any additional questions. If you could stop share screen. Any additional questions from the group? No? All right. That was my text going off. All right. Oh, Thomas has their hand up. Oh, you know, before we actually go to questions, I know that we did introductions at first, but in trying to so hold that question, Thomas, in trying to sort of make us more real and not Zoom people, everyone here is open about being either a service provider or a consumer service or an appointed seat. So why don't we just quickly go around and just sort of mention who we are, if we're a consumer or if we're a service provider, and if we are, where we work, or if we're a government appointee, what kind of seat we're holding. I can speak for the two who just departed and hopefully will return. Elaine Flores is, I guess you consider that a community leader. She is a representative from Marin County from their community council there. And Don So JP Soto, sorry, works is a service provider who works for Lutheran Social Services. So I'll just go around. I'll start with Robert.
Hi, Jan. I think we've met time ago before. My name is Robert Arnold. I am a service provider. I work at SF Community Health Center as our director of integrative care. So I oversee all of our HIV programs, and I will, including Black Health Center of Excellence, working with you all and Helen.
Zachary.
Hi, Jan. Thanks so much for being here today. It was wonderful to hear your experience. It's so lovely and broad, and I think we'll bring a lot to the council, assuming that we do elect you, which I think we will. But I am a behavioral health clinician, a licensed marriage family therapist. I work at two clinics within the Department of Public Health. My seat on the council is technically appointed as the mental health seat. I've been on the council for, I think, coming up on like 7 years, and a co-chair for some of that time more recently. Did I cover everything? I think so. Yeah, and I've been on membership a lot of that time too. So I really love this committee and interviewing new folks and disciplining other folks.
Oh, there's a.
Yes, we are also the this is also the HR committee, so
Oh, there we
keep that in
go.
mind. I just received a little message. Marco probably won't be able to introduce himself. He is a service provider who works for Mission Neighborhood Health Center. And how about next? One of our membership co-chairs, Ron.
Oh, yes. How are you, Han? Thank you for hold on here. I just have something wrong with my screen. Okay. All right. So yeah, I think I'm the only one here who'd say that I'm one of the I should say, yeah, I'm a humble consumer of services. And I might be one of those people that you treat at your clinic, but I go to another one. But yeah, I've been accessing services since 2007, but I zero converted 2003. Heard about the council. I wanted to give back to this community that gave me my life back, because I was one of those who were, as you mentioned, substance abuse user, whatever you want to call them nowadays. And so I was really down at the bottom, and I crawled back up with the help of all the providers and services that were there for me. So here I am with the council since 2012, And yeah.
Thank you,
I
Ron.
can.
And now for one of our newest, freshest members, Erwin. Oh, you're muted, Erwin.
Okay, yeah. I'm Erwin Barrios. I'm a case manager at Eric Silva Community, one of the program for Catholic Charity. I'm new. And I've been working for many, many years with the HIV community. It's a Francisco.
Thank you, Erwin. Erwin and I go way back. We used to work at Shanti together. Ugh, gosh, I'm not going to say how many years ago. Thomas, why don't you close us out with an introduction and then go ahead with your question?
Thank you. So Jan and I actually know each other
Oh,
already. The lobby is one of our health access points. So for specifically for people who are using drugs, people experiencing homelessness. So good to see you.
you.
And excited that you're interested in joining us. I feel like I give this spiel to most folks kind of coming into this space, and it's never a great spiel, but it's just I always want to kind of set expectations. We are a bureaucratic government body. So, and we can be innovative, but that's not generally what our role is about, other than so I feel like our primary purpose is to make sure that the services that people are counting on and saving their lives and providing critical services for them remain in place and are stable. So just to put that out there, that sometimes I think people come in and think we're this maverick new, like cutting edge kind of component. And again, we can have our moments, but for the most part, that is not the way things roll. And at the same time, I do feel like at least in the larger council space, it is more just listening and hearing presentations versus kind of an active dialogue. I think in smaller meetings like this, there's definitely an opportunity to talk and kind of cross-pollinate, and actually would encourage more of that in committee meetings. So just to put that out there. And any members who want to either clean up what I said or add on, please do.
Just to add on to that, although the council has certainly sponsored many innovative things, certainly there's different groups and initiatives and modalities actually that have been created by the council, modalities within existing service categories. Of course, I could only underline what Thomas said. It's ever since we took a large hit from the feds, I'd say around 2006, it really has been kind of circle the wagons and make sure what we know is a successful system of care stays strong, that we don't lose clients. So that's just an important perspective to take. You're not going to find a lot of fireballs happening at council meetings. I think what you're going to find is a lot of trying to understand what are some challenges, how can we meet them, and how can we better integrate. Any other questions from the group?
Go ahead, Jan.
No, because just on this note though, like my sort of, I mean, I did a little like, going through old notes and meeting minutes and sort of like portions of what's been public, because in many ways, like the and nice to see you, Thomas, but like I feel in some ways like the larger city structure has been moving, for example, like the prevention bucket, if you will, and the HIV bucket sort of closer together. And what I'm gleaning from, from like the notes and sort of, so these were two separate bodies that then sort of move together, and it feels like the venue of council has really informed and supported this the integration of these. Is that a right
Yeah,
read
very much
of
so.
it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've done what we can. I think I guess it's perspective. 20 years ago, the prevention world and the care world were definitely separate silos. We still have our worlds and our missions kind of thing that are unique, and at the same time, we work relatively harmoniously. I would say the same about the STI world, and we're doing more activity with regards to the Hep C, specifically care and even overdose we've leaned into. So yeah, there's a lot more synergy happening for sure, and things have changed over the years. I'm always one of those people. I'd rather tell you that we're a boring, stodgy bunch of people, and then you're like, oh, that was actually not as bad as Thomas said it was going to be. So versus like you thinking like we're innovating every 10 seconds, and then being like, wow, this body is really not working for me because I don't do much. So that's my rationale behind my statement.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, just kind of looking out for you. People do come in sometimes with a very different vision of how we work, and I'm glad the notes are reflective of a lot of the good work that we're doing. And part of why I was quiet earlier, I just kept trying to not ask you how much you wanted for Greenland.
I'd also underline the fact that even though we're not an activist body, we're a public policy body. We're not a lobbying group. We are a supporter of the current system. As you noted, Jan, and as Thomas has mentioned, it is in some ways radical to have an integrated system of care. And this is something that we reflect in both being a merged council, but also in the various groups that we connect with, whether it's NDH at the Epidemics, or the Care Coalition, Getting to Zero. So many different places that we have connected to. We were a part of the group that built the Center of Excellence model here. So it's definitely key. All right. Any other questions from the group? Oh, I love that dog. Okay, it's gone. Yeah. Any other questions for the group? If there's no other questions, Jan, do you have any questions for us?
Oh, I think I mean I think I just want to thank you for like the reality checking. I think in my interest in this, I mean what I'm sort of like on the one hand both hoping to contribute but also to learn from and work on is sort of getting a view on the on this work in terms of like how things move. I feel like I'm going into this with sort of like maybe not wide open, but sort of like 70% open in terms of what council is about. But just in terms of like my mentors through my work who have been a part of this, Mary Lawrence Hicks, Richard Bargetto, Helen Lynn is very much involved in this work, Darpin Sachdev, like plenty of people who have really helped me grow, who have at some point and some still are been a part of this work and really value the opportunity and sort of like the it's a meaningful part of their service. And so that is sort of also like informing my motivation and interest to join. Like I see how it plays in their lives and sort of interacting with people who are doing remarkable work at both service providers and within the different departments and entities to sort of move the wagon forward. So I'm excited.
Thank you, Jan. As far as next steps go, the committee will discuss and then vote on recommending you to the full council. If the committee does decide to move you forward, the full council will vote on your application at this month's meeting. And so, if that is the case, I would certainly encourage you to attend this month's meeting and be prepared to just speak to your interest in why you'd want to join the council or who you are for like only a few moments. Certainly don't need to prepare anything. And then, if the council itself approves, it will then go to the mayor's office. We have a new mayor, I'm not sure you've heard. And that means that it might be quite a while before the mayor, who is actually the CEO of the council, gives final approval. In the meantime, you would still be considered as a provisional council member, again, if accepted, which means you would sit at the table, you join the discussions as anyone else. But it would also mean that you couldn't vote or make motions. We would encourage you to find a home committee and join it, but we wouldn't mandate it as well. So it's kind of a sweet spot, this provisional. It has the sweet and the sour. And so with that, I guess I would invite you to leave the meeting. If you'd like to see the rest of membership, perhaps leave for 10 minutes and come back. But otherwise, I'll send you an email with the results of the decision later today.
Thank you so much, everybody. Nice to meet you all.
Thanks, Sean.
Hope to meet you soon.
Nice to
Take
meet you,
care.
Sean.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. That wasn't awkward at all. I invite you to leave. I'm not sure I've said that except at a party once.
You said that at a party once?
I invite you to leave now.
I'd just say get out.
I'm much more courteous and kind and human than you.
Whatever.
I said that to Erwin. All right, Ron, take it away. Let's discuss.
Well, any thoughts on Jan's interview? I thought he was great.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I thought he was wonderful. We're trying to fill in
Part
more
D.
consumer side, but I mean, we take what we can, right?
Also, he would fill an appointed seat that our HRSA project, our HRSA mantra said, you need to fill this seat. Part D. And so even though we still obviously have but you all still have the choice, it isn't a it would essentially be an appointed seat that we've had unfilled like forever.
Well, if it's appointed, I'm absolutely for him.
I'm sorry, and I know I missed the last month's meeting. What is the appointed seat?
Part D. So we're missing part C and part D, but we realized we can actually consider Bill Bloom to be our part C rep,
Oh.
and which is nice. And part D, Jan would fill.
Robert, are you asking specifically which appointed seat? Or are you asking what an appointed seat is?
Actually, what is an appointed seat for here then?
That's kind of what I thought I was hearing too. Go
Oh, okay. I gave the wrong answer. I gave the right answer, but not to the
was
question.
still
An appoint So there are three kinds of council members. There is a consumer of services, and that's usually an HIV positive consumer of care services, but we've since expanded that to include a consumer of prevention services. That was our own decision, though it's not in any way mandated. There is a mandate for a certain threshold of HIV positive consumers of services, including potentially unaffiliated and hopefully not just potentially. So that's one, and I would say the most important kind of council member because that's a population that actually created this council and councils in general. And then there are the two remaining seats that kind of blend into each other, but they are distinct. There is a service provider, and that's what it says, basically, what it sounds like. And that's what you are. It's someone representing an actual, no, not representing, it's someone who has experience at an agency. The difference in many ways between a service provider and a government appointee or appointed seat is that they are not necessarily representing the opinions of their agency. And so, for example, you are not here to say, well, the health center believes we should do this. In fact, that would be wildly inappropriate, but you can speak to your experience at the health center. We do try to keep a cap of like perhaps no more than two or three, two's a better number, representatives from each service provider. There are an array of seats that HRSA says we need to have. Those seats not just include consumers, but they include different kinds of areas. And those areas could mean a seat is coming from a service provider. There are certain service provision, certain services that herself wants to definitely see on council. So, for example, primary care, we have multiple of those. On the other hand, there's also different seats that are coming specifically from usually city departments, and those are our government appointees. That's why Zachary spoke to being our mental health appointee. If Zachary was decided to leave the council in disgust and dismay, we would probably contact the government to tell on Zachary and say we need someone to replace that Zachary. Thomas himself is a government appointee representing prevention. That's not something that actually included by HRSA, but that's something we as a merged council decided to self-mandate. Does that make sense? So part D is one of those things. Ryan White is of course divided up into multiple parts. Each part is delivers different kinds of services to different areas of the country. Even though we are a part A service, part A council, that's where our mandate lies. Part of our mandate is actually to include the voices of non-part A voices. And so that's why they're mandating part C, part D, et cetera. Okay, that was nice long. Did I answer it then? Yes.
Yes. Okay. I did understand, but thanks for the clarity. No, I really understand.
Well, always a pleasure for me to talk. Back to you, Ron.
Well, do we have any further discussion on the interview? Anyone?
I think they'll be a good member. Sometimes just efficiency of putting stuff out into the space, I think might be something just from whoever's facilitating might need to take into account for them. And then just we really do need to work on our, I feel like we do have a lot of government folks in the mix. So is that fair? Like we've got Franco, myself, Zachary. I know we're not representing. And then I think there's a couple more, Helen, right? So.
Well, the thing is, like, neither Helen nor Franco are considered government appointees. They do fill certain seats.
I get it, Mark, for sure. It's more the
You're just talking about non-consumers. We do have a majority, and we really need to work on that. We're underneath our 33% threshold. It's shameful. Is there a motion to approve this applicant to forward to the full council?
I'm happy to do that.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll now appear at full council this month. Oh, I forgot to make my Iceland joke. Gosh darn it. I had that saved up too. Oh well.
Well,
I'll email
it's not fair that
I
the
laid the
victim
groundwork, Mark.
That wasn't a good one though. That wasn't Iceland and Greenland are very different. I mean, that's like such like an American thing to say. Different
Whatever.
places.
So moving on down to
No,
the,
but
oh,
Iceland
sorry.
owns Greenland, right?
Oh,
No,
Denmark does.
Denmark.
Wow.
It's okay, Thomas.
The joke,
Well, can we remove the recording then?
yeah, just remember, even though Iceland's called Iceland, it's very green. While Greenland is called Greenland, it's very icy.
Let's move on.
All right, so let's move on. Yes, let's continue down that attendance report. Kira.
I think the first thing on that agenda is under that attendance report section is going over our new prospective member application. And so I can go ahead and share my screen for that. And so this
Before
is someone who has applied.
you jump in and go over a brief thing, because I'm going to need to step out for just a few minutes. I'll be back. Don't you worry. This is a an appointed seat. And so it is important that this person come onto the council. However, that doesn't mean that they should not go through the same process. The particular appointed seat is our San Mateo rep, replacing Matt Geltmaker. This is also why, despite today, we are doing an exception of an in-person interview for her because she works literally in San Mateo, so it'd be a bit unfair. Okay, with that said, back to you. Sorry, Kira.
All right, so I can go over her application. And so this is Anna Branzella, who, like Mark said, is going to replace the seat that Matt Geltmaker currently fills. And so you can see some of her contact info, including the agency or affiliation, which is San Mateo County Public Health Policy and Planning. And so just some of our regular stuff here. She would be filling also or adding to our Pacific Islander slash Native demographic that we would have on the council. As an HIV community stakeholder, she does have experience and knowledge given the affiliation with union or labor interests. She can represent the following communities given her experience and knowledge with people of color and women. So moving on to some of a brief bio of her personal and professional experience as it relates to the council. I worked my entire career in the STI, HIV and communicable disease prevention and control field. The first 19 years, it was with the City and County of San Francisco at City Clinic from 89 to 08 during the most critical time for the community and HIV. She continued to work in communicable disease with SFDPH, working with individuals who were directly impacted by lack of care and access to information. She then retired from SFDPH in 2017 and went to work at the California Department of Public Health, STD Control Branch, in outbreak response and community interventions in both STDs and HIV throughout California. She says, "My entire focus has been to ensure community members have access to accurate information and care slash treatment and ensure the agencies I work with obtain community input and insight to be effective and efficient." She is currently the new clinical services manager with the San Mateo County STI slash HIV. And she's even more invested that those individuals in San Mateo County receive the highest level of care and commitment from our agencies. It has been incredibly enlightening to see the disparities in San Mateo County after working in SF, which has developed incredible access to individuals most at need. Personally, I live in San Francisco and have been active at the grassroots levels advocating on our local, state, and federal policymakers to support our initiatives. I was a union steward for 23 years and union officer for 3 years and advocated and negotiated for fair and equitable contracts. I work on the Board of Health Initiatives for Youth, focuses on youth and ensuring their access to accurate information is now even more important with current administration changes. All right, and as to why she's interested in joining the council. As the current clinical services manager for San Mateo County, she wants to provide a voice for the residents of San Mateo County and their unique perspectives, which are different than those in San Francisco. So she appreciates the opportunity to be working at another level and with council members who have a wide range of experience and knowledge. And so, when asked to use provider evaluate services for people living with or at risk for HIV, she wrote, "As clinical services manager, I evaluate the services our staff provide in HIV harm reduction, the linkage of care slash treatment, and re-engaging in HIV clinical care. As far as participation in community planning or health planning processes, as a previous community program supervisor of STI slash HIV and now current clinical services manager of the STI HIV TB program in San Mateo County, she developed and implemented disease interventions based on the surveillance data. In addition, she worked with frontline staff to identify additional community interventions to prevent severe outcomes and to interrupt the transmissions of infections. In terms of other skills and expertise, she wrote, "I have 35 years working with STI slash HIV and communicable disease programs at the county and state level, which provides a wide perspective on engaging with communities and entities responsible to serve individuals. All right. I don't think she wrote anything for that part. And then she signed. All right. Let's see if I can. Oh, here we go. So this is a letter of support, I believe, from Matt Gelmaker, of course. And so he writes, to whom it may concern, letters in support of Anna Renzel's application to the San Francisco HIV Community Planning Council. He wrote, I have worked with Anna for 6 years at San Mateo County Public Health Policy and Planning. He fully supports her being promoted into the position that he has held for the past 18 years, which is the clinical services manager for TB, STI, HCV, and HIV. She's extremely dedicated to the vulnerable populations impacted by these infections. She's always very thoughtful and utilizes her critical thinking skills in making programmatic decisions and engaging with the community. Please accept my highest recommendation for her acceptance to the San Francisco HIV Community Planning Council. Signed, Matt Geltmaker. All right. And this is also a letter of support from Tamara Jones, who is the Director of Public Health Policy and Planning. So I don't think I will read that one, but folks get it. I think that was it. So I'll go ahead and stop sharing. And if folks want to discuss their thoughts.
Mark mentioned that she might have difficulty in-person meetings. Is that something that is she planning to be, Mark, you mentioned right before you got into the application that she had a complication with in-person or vice versa?
Yeah, I thought someone mentioned my name 3 times and summoned me, so I rushed back. No complications. It's just that she works in San Mateo, and so it did seem like a bit of an ask to say, please come out to San Francisco to have this in-person interview that will be like 20, half an hour. And then return to your job or not in San Mateo. So it just seemed more of a courtesy, not a problem. She actually, I don't know if you've noticed, she has been at every council meeting since fall, I think. So she would have no problem attending our full council meeting. I talked to her about this directly.
Anyone have any questions or comments about her?
So we're looking to move her forward in an application or an interview for the next meeting, or is she going to be okay? I've worked with her somewhere before and I can't remember where, whether it was City Clinic or at the state, but just, yeah. And it's good if someone who actually has interest and is going to fill that seat for Matt, it's pretty fortunate. Great. So we're up for moving them forward. Okay.
Motion and second, please.
That's exactly.
Second, yes.
Okay. I'll let her know that she'll have a Zoom interview next month.
Hey, wonderful. Thank you, Mark.
All right. And then we can move on to our next item, which is under committee assignments. And so this is just council member Lee Miyake, TJ. He's requesting to move committees. So his home committee is currently council affairs and he wants to move to the community engagement committee. And so we just wanted to know if this group would allow that.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it at all. Yeah. Is it like in terms of our numbers, like will it be fine?
Yeah, it should be fine.
Okay, yeah.
I understand too also that someone is wanting to come to membership. Is that going to make us have too many members in this committee?
if someone wants to come to membership?
Yeah.
No. Right now there is some leeway in terms if we have one person moving from one committee, whether that's any of our committees, it wouldn't affect our numbers so much. I think when we start to see it affecting our numbers and we're receiving new members, we do push new members to certain committees.
I think the only person who moved here, correct me if I'm wrong, Kira, is Manuel, who couldn't make this meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was the one, yeah. Do we have to vote on this or approve it or what's...
Just as you know, as long as no one has an objection to that.
I see no objections.
Perfect. All right. And then moving on to resignation / thank you for your service to the council. This will be Matt Geltmaker's last month attending meetings. And this will be his last month attending the full council. So we just wanted to make an acknowledgement of that. And then Mark, are we okay to go over his exit interview or should we push that off for next month?
Well, that's up to the co-chair. If Ron feels like we have enough time, we can, or we can push it to next month.
I think we have time.
All right, perfect.
5 minutes, yeah.
All right, so I'll go ahead and share that then. If I can find it. Give me 1 second.
So is anybody feeling the need to promote Marvel Comics over DC Comics?
Well, I am going to see the movie tonight, so what do you want me to say?
Oh, I was just referencing Edwin's background there with the very clear DC favoritism.
Well, I'm going to see a Marvel movie tonight. That's what I can
do. What are you going to see?
Well, Captain America, so it comes out tonight. So that gets a Marvel vote, if you want.
Oh,
this is like a dork versus nerd convo. Which one do you identify as?
Yes and yes.
All right. So I can go ahead and go over this. So this is the exit interview that Matt filled out. And so the first question is, what is your primary reason for leaving the HIV Community Planning Council? And he wrote, I am retiring from my position with San Mateo County Health. And when asked to rate the council's ability to serve the people of the San Francisco EMA living with and at risk for HIV, Matt rated it a 10, which is highly effective / exceptional. What he liked most about the council was the thoughtfulness of deliberations, the diversity of members, meeting community members and colleagues. What he liked least about the council was that over the years, he cannot think of anything in particular that was not good. So I guess nothing. And then what would you change or improve to make the council better? He wrote, continue to focus on diversity and community members. His overall experience as a council member was rated as a 10, which is good / enjoyable / satisfying. All right. Did your service on the council turn out to be what you expected? He wrote, yes, I was familiar with the council from working at SFAF in the 90s. It was refreshing to see how respectful everyone was during my tenure. Did you receive enough training to effectively do your work? He wrote, I did not need any training due to his role in San Mateo and already understanding the role of the planning council. If he received the support he needed to do his work, he wrote, yes, council support was always very accommodating and helpful. And then during your service, did you receive encouragement and feel connected to the group? He wrote, yes. As for tips or suggestions for his replacement, he wrote in Anna Branzella, whose application we just reviewed. And then in the future, would you consider working with the council again? He said, not sure, I need to take a break after these many years. And would you recommend working with the council to your friends, family, or other contacts? And he wrote, yes. For additional comments, he wrote in, thanks for these many years of collaboration and dedication, and thank you for allowing me to be part of the council. And that's all he wrote. So any comments about that?
What do we do, Mark, usually? We send out a card?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Usually we do absolutely nothing, which is my preference. I mean, people just need to go live their lives. But Matt has been on the council like for as long as some people have been alive on the who are council members. So I'm wondering, the last time we did this was when Laura left the council. She didn't leave for long, but she did leave. And we got her a cake. Should I do something like that for my friend Matt? I mean, that seems so not me, but I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be a tradition for every person leaving the council, but let's say you put 20 years in, which Matt did. I think you deserve at least a cake.
Agreed. I think Ken Pierce always had an issue with showing favoritism of some sort, and I'm like...
Yeah, Ken did. That's actually why I didn't get him a cake, even though he had been on the council for over 20 years.
It was his thing. It's like, if we do it for one, we have to do it for everybody. And I'm like, no, just do it for the ones we like.
Okay, I'll do that. I hope to remember to do that. I mean.
Thank you, Mark. Was there any discussion on his exit interview? Any comments?
No. I mean, I do feel like we should say something in the meeting, so I don't know who would be appropriate to just acknowledge.
Oh, we did, though. I think did a little round of. I mean, at least I extolled his virtues when he announced it. I mean, we'll do it again, I think, but that actually did happen. Maybe you came late to that meeting, but there was okay. Like there when he mentioned it, people did speak, including me.
Okay, great.
Hey. So are we set for 4:30 or is it 5 o'clock for the meeting to end?
4:30.
Yeah.
We're okay, done so, anyways, though, aren't we?
Well, we have one or two more items. We have the demographic report and also the PNP review.
Yeah. Let's do the PNP
review real quick.
Sure.
I put this in the agenda because during the steering committee, we're working on the policies and procedures. In this particular thing, I thought it behooved the membership committee to at least see it and look at it. I don't know about approving it, but no understanding what the language was before it was approved to the full council. Can you bring it up there, Mark?
Yeah, sorry, I'm actually responding to a chat message right now. Very important. Cake-related chat message. Gosh, I don't have it handy. Kira or Kat, do either of you have that? I asked it to be printed out for the meeting, but clearly we're not.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then I guess, are we going to circle back if we have time to the actual demographic report? We might have time.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So just as a background, you're looking at this, not just at the request, at the request of Ron, because this falls under your purview. Steering is embarking on a probably year-long process of reviewing all of our bylaws and policies and procedures. One of the things that really caught the eye of HRSA during our monitoring visit was the fact that we don't really have any term limits and people can be forever council members, basically, and they don't like that. They like the idea of rotating in and out, while we like the idea of, like, experienced voices and giving people the opportunity to actually stay on the council for a while and provide their lived experience and professional experiences that only comes with time sometimes. And so we try to create a happy medium. So I will call your attention to the most important thing. No, I'll just go over the whole thing. So one of the things that we did was did we do this? Kira, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it 50 members and we moved it to 40? I think, is that what happened? Yeah, I think that's what happened. So we that first thing's size was 50 because when we merged, we equaled 49 members, if you can believe that. And no one wanted to lose a seat. And so it was determined to have that be our ceiling. Steering reviewed that and said, that's like crazy town. We don't need 50. We're doing perfectly fine with a little bit shy of 30. So let's just make it 40. So that's one change. I don't think there was any changes in that large paragraph to follow. Now, here's the key change. And also, if you can scroll down a little bit, I don't think there was any changes below that either. Okay, so there was no changes in termination and resignation. So let's look at term. This is again the thing that HRSA said that we need to have some term limits, folks. So this is something that Bill and I talked about trying to find that happy medium of term limits while also really centering the ability of voices of experience to actually continue providing their lived and professional expertise. So what we landed on was this: the term of office in the council shall be 3 years. The term may be renewed once. Council members who have been termed off the council may reapply after a 6-month hiatus. Ex-council members are welcome to continue attending committees and full council meetings during their 6-month hiatus. So this does adhere rather loosely, but it does adhere to their requirement to actually have the ability for people to slide on and off as they see fit. While also giving a fairly generous amount of time, 6 years before that hiatus occurs. Bill said, they might actually push back on this and say, that's not what we're talking about. And so we aimed high in case, like, we did get some pushback. And if we need to, we can make the term 2 years. But we thought, let's go for a larger number first and see if they have anything to say about this. So there you have it, the updated term limits. What do folks think?
My concern is a term off. When do we start each individual? When do they start their term?
Well, that's kind of for up to us to decide when the actual start date of this policy to go into effect. I don't plan on bringing these policies to the council to vote on until they're all done. So the full council won't see this for a year, I assume, unless we just go through them real quickly. I mean, I just don't see that happening. We didn't even get finished with the bylaws, let alone get into the P&P in January. So when it does get passed, then I think we're going to have to actually talk about it here at this committee and say, okay, so when does this start? Does it start with this term? Do we backdate it? I would assume that we wouldn't backdate it, that we'd start with the current term as first term under a new policy. But I don't want to be the decision maker on that one. I think that should be really a group discussion and decision about when we actually start to implement the new policy, which probably wouldn't be until 2026, to be honest.
Yeah, I fear that if you decide to have a slate, if we all decide, okay, the term starts now, and we're at zero for everybody, that in 6 years you're going to have a
Oh,
mass exodus.
very good point. So we might want to start it at what their renewal date was, which is still going to be a mass, but at least it'll be different shifting. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Someone
Mark,
had a question?
yeah, I have a question. Sorry,
Go ahead.
Ron, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Does this start once you're signed in by the mayor or once you're accepted by membership?
Oh, another good point. I think it would have to start when, either we start it when the policy itself starts, or we start it per Ron's suggestion, so that we have it sort of differences at the point of renewal or point of entry. And renewal and entry should be when the mayor signs off on it, which will again diversify the start dates. That's great, actually.
Oh, sorry, thank you.
Thomas.
So are we gonna write those things into this? Is that just for that clarity, Mark, or is that?
Oh, we will eventually, but I don't think anything needs to be added to this. I think this will be up for the membership. Like, this is a pretty straightforward thing, moving on. I don't think The bylaws is our, I guess, our firmest document. So I don't think we write into the bylaws what we might do in a decide upon in a year.
Okay. The piece that's getting me is assign there's nobody else kind of in CHEP that would fit for this role kind of thing. So for positions that are like San Mateo County as well,
Yeah.
that's the puzzler for me.
It sure is. I mean, in a year after these are approved, membership could actually submit a new policy that is based around certain seats. That wouldn't be untoward, and that could certainly, like, for example, once we realize the State Office of AIDS rep could no longer travel to our meetings, we actually created a policy that said they didn't have to travel to meetings or even have a home committee. So we can do special things for particular positions.
Okay, that's helpful context.
Yeah, we just have to create that policy.
Mark, you said that we have a year to really look at this and tweak it if we need to, right?
Yeah.
So it's nothing that we need to do right now. We don't really have much time to even change the language or what, but that's just something to look at as a membership committee member. If we're asked what this is all about, we kind of know what it is. We can respond. But was there any insight or questions regarding this? Anyone? Do we need further discussion, Mark, you think?
No, I think we're good. It's just important that I'm glad that you brought this to membership. It is under your purview, so everyone should be aware of what is going to be coming up in about a year.
Yeah. I was really hoping that JP and Elaine would have been to see this, but they'll see it some other time.
Yeah. And we have plenty of time to catch them up.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. So we will now move on to the end of our meeting. We have the demographic information update report still here.
Yeah, and I can go over those quickly. So we have our EPI report. And so these numbers did change a little bit because I finally got updated numbers. So everyone's I guess all demographics, race, gender, and age are all accurately reflected here. And so our current number stands at 28. This is the EPI one, and I can share next the one that's a little bit more detailed, which is the Aries demographic report. And so we currently have down here our total membership, like I said, is at 28. And we have a total HIV positive number of 13 members, which brings that out to around 46%, and a total of 7 non-aligned consumers, which is 25%. And so our target area currently still remains Black slash African American, and it's highlighted in red there. And then we are low on male members. So we have 71%, although that is, if you think about it, the majority of the council. And then, of course, youth, as well as folks who are 65 and older. Those are kind of really Black slash African American and youth are kind of our two target areas, as well as consumers in general. Any questions about this?
Sorry, when you said female, so female was supposed to represent the number of, what would an ideal female number look like? 10%?
What do you mean? Oh,
For the
yeah.
full.
On the yes. So I guess, yeah, 10% of our council would be female then. But I mean, I guess ideally it's just anything above 10%.
Exactly. We
So it
like
doesn't
to.
necessarily have to hit that 10% or those percentage numbers highlighted
Oh, I see. But that's
in
causing
yellow.
the male to be out
Yeah.
of whack. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry.
Just a like a question thought with everything happening.
Yeah,
Um,
I'm wondering actually if we can maybe pause recording at this.
okay.
I think it's important to have this brief.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion on the demographic report? No. Okay. So I'm sorry we went over, guys. Our meeting for next month will be on the 13th. It will be via Zoom until further notice. We may have an interview that meeting as well. So keep that in mind. Okay.
Hey guys, I'm so sorry. We had a power outage over here, so it just went back on. But I'm sorry I missed most of the meeting, but I'm sure it was in good hands.
Okay, Elaine.
Ron did okay.
All right. I got half of what you guys were saying, but it sounded interesting. So I'll head up with you later, Ron, and give me a brief on what the discussion, but it sounded everything went out good. I hope the interviews went out great.
All you need to know is Ron's going to the movies.
Oh,
Nice.
right
That's kind of the
on.
summary.
All right, you guys.
Right. All right. Thank you guys. Have a
Yep.
good day.
Kieran,
Thank
catch.
you.
Stay on.
Bye.
Oh.